swindles, financial frauds, company bosses taking investors' money and sticking it into their own pockets. Are you thinking FTX and crypto? Maybe Bernie Madoff or the Ponzi scheme? Actually, it's the year 1732. Our next guest is a business historian who suggests there's nothing particularly new about investor fraud, because it goes back to the earliest days of financial markets in London. Amy Freud studies the history of financial fraud. She's a professor at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Amy Freud, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's great to be with you.
We found your article on this fascinating. So can I ask you to start by talking about the present? When you first heard about this FTX story and the founder Sam Bankman-Fried accused of taking investors' money and sticking it in his own side hustle, you thought about history. How did that start percolating in your mind?
I have to admit, I'm always interested in a good fraud. And what kept striking me over and over again in this story is how similar this is to past frauds that we've seen. And there's just some basic building blocks, it seems, some continuities in these stories that you would think that we would look out for these things a little bit more than we do.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the historical parallels that you see and kind of lessons for us today. The company you write about, kind of comparing its fraud back then to today, is called the Charitable Corporation, established in 1707. So back then, what was that corporation created to do? It sounds awfully save the world.
Exactly right. They're declaring that in the name of the company. The fraud that I look at in the 18th century was perpetrated by a small group of managers and officers in the company who basically took all the capital and used it as their own personal piggy bank to invest in other companies that they were also directors and members of, but perhaps also to use personally to purchase things that might add to their lifestyle. So eventually, the money was gone and the whole company collapsed. And the British government got involved investigating because they were worried it would lead to a stock market collapse.
In both cases, with FTX and this charitable corporation, they both started as these kind of cool, new, shiny investments. Yeah.
Exactly. I think that we love something new and shiny. We love innovation. We enshrine our innovators, our disruptors, and see them as capitalist heroes. So this was also the case with the Charitable Corporation. When it was set up in the early 18th century, it was seen as this new and novel way to offer small loans to working business people who maybe needed better access to credit. So the Charitable Corporation was saying, we are an alternative, we're setting ourselves up to help the public. Oh, but we are a for-profit venture. We will be asking our shareholders to invest, but then rewarding them with dividends. People were willing to give their money to the company. They thought, I can both do good and make money at the same time. A third of those who were swindled of their money were women who sometimes were putting in their entire nest eggs in this corporation.
Oh, wow. What are the big lessons from the past and the present that we can use to try to prevent it from happening in the future?
That, of course, is the $10 million question. When an industry is new, when it's innovative, instead of giving it free rein because we're excited, perhaps that's a time to keep a little bit more of an eye on what's going on, just to ensure that there aren't opportunities for fraud. Unfortunately, in new and unregulated areas, it's easier to do, I think, because people think, oh, I don't understand the industry, and therefore I can't have anything to say about it. So I should just let it ride and see how things turn out. In reality, we need a little bit more of an eye on these industries.
Yeah. I thought, you know, the 18th century was kind of this wild west of capitalism. And since then, we've had rules, regulation, we have this Securities and Exchange Commission. It should be safer now. No?
that's the kind of shocking part, isn't it? That we kind of haven't learned our lesson in a lot of ways. And right now we're living in a period where the pendulum has swung against regulation once again. But I think that the maybe even bigger factor is that regulation always has to play catch up when we're talking about new and innovative financial instruments and financial industries. But on the other hand, what Samuel Bankman-Fried is alleged to have done is basically just faulty, shoddy accounting, hiding, robbery of his clients. And so there's really nothing new about that, and we should be able to stop that. And part of the problem, I think, in this case and in many cases, is lack of oversight.
Amy Freud studies the history of financial fraud, and she's professor at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Amy Freud, so great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Scott.